Recording stopped.
There we go.
Yes, there we go. Folks, coming to you live, even though this is being recorded on various machines, it is the triumphant return, the 2022 premiere episode of Sully and Stone. Crowley Sullivan here with my lifelong pal, Jay Stone. Stone, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. The hiatus is over. You got to know the kids again. Did a little hunting and fishing in the off season, and we are back.
Well, truth be told, the sabbatical was due to me being on a month-long adventure of sorts. I was at a camp where I was learning how to ride a unicycle. And I now am expert at riding a unicycle, but far more importantly than that, returning with the program in 2022 is my former temporary executive administrative manager, Amanda Boyk. She is no longer my temporary executive administrative manager. She's my former temporary executive administrative manager. She is back with the show. Boyk, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So glad to be back.
How's fascia coming along for you?
Fascia's doing really well, actually. I'm excited. I'm going back to school in 2.5 weeks for my level two.
Nice. Hey, Stone, are you wondering who today's presenting sponsor is?
Ooh. I kind of was wondering that.
It's a return sponsor demonstrating the value of this program, not just to our loyal listeners out there, but to the folks who have invested in this program. And once again, I got to just give props to our sales team. They're out there. A renewal. Thyssen Krupp Elevator. Remember those guys?
Of course I do. It's great to have them renewing their deal with us.
Oh, yeah. They're back in 2022. They are, just as a reminder, recognized as a top 10 elevator manufacturer in all of North America. They present and provide a smooth ride, a clean and modern interior atmosphere, a spacious vestibule, and a relatively safe technology that has limited mechanical malfunctions and not very many deaths. They've been certified and given a B-minus grade by OSHA. Thyssen Krupp Elevators, giving you every opportunity to reach the next level. Stone, once again, Happy New Year. It's great to be back on the program with you. What do you want to kick off with?
Well, I want to just kick off with putting a little bow on the season that ended while we were on hiatus. Congratulations to the Georgia Bulldogs. The people in Athens, congratulations on the national championship. I will say this, that game for the national championship, there was a hell of a lot of speed on that field. Boy, was there a lot of speed on that field. It was great watching people, great athletes, great action. Sorry, Jameson Williams got hurt because I think that's really the biggest takeaway I have from the game.
Do you think Alabama Jameson wins
Williams doesn't
think,
get hurt?
Wait Bama a minute, wins. Hang on. Do you think Bama wins if he's
I do. He doesn't genuinely, yes. I think Jameson Williams probably ends up with about 180 yards of catches, probably 2 or 3 touchdowns, and I think Alabama wins. I mean, that's how big that injury was. It was, I mean, they didn't have anybody left, you know, guys dropping balls. But still, have you been, Georgia wait, earned it
real quick. Georgia earned it. Have you been to Fame yet in 2022?
So. I have not visited Fame 2022. One of the reasons I don't believe they've signed up as a sponsor for Sully and Stone. So maybe that's a good
call. Haven't yet on our return. We've got to talk to the owner.
Yeah. I mean, if Fame's going to have, you know, my presence there, then they need to cough up money to Sully and Stone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've got a number in mind also.
They've gotten a lot of publicity out of this. I know, too.
Just from this.
Yeah.
So I have to say, when I drive by there's no one going in. So I don't know what's going on over there. Maybe they're already out of business. Right.
You think Bama wins if your boy is not injured? And am I to also interpret that you actually think that Bama's the better team?
No. Oh, I mean, okay. I just felt like, I mean, it was the way that game was going. Clearly, Georgia, on the play that Jameson Williams gets hurt, he's only 30 yards behind the whole defense. You know, the bunch sets they were using were giving Georgia trouble. Georgia's no question that Georgia's secondary, as we saw in the SEC championship game. And by the way, I picked Georgia to win both those games,
SEC did.
Championship and the national championship. But I saw Jameson Williams. It was pretty clear that Jameson Williams was going to have a big, big day, and just felt terrible for him. And then, of course, Stenson Bennett, who just announced he's coming back next year. So we've got Stenson Bennett again next year.
I mean, where was he going to go?
That's a great
idea. Canada?
Most pundits I heard thought that he would, you know, hang him up as a legendary Georgia player and never have to buy another drink in the state and wouldn't even risk that legacy. So I'm kind of surprised by that.
Well, and let me be clear, that little snarky comment about going and playing in Canada was probably ill-advised. That is one of the greatest stories, I think, in the history of college football. It's absolutely phenomenal when you consider where that kid came from.
Incredible story. And more incredible is how many people were calling for, that first quarter, second quarter in the championship game, people wanted that guy out. I mean, you know, obviously people thought he should have been yanked in the SEC championship game. People thought he should have been yanked in the national championship game. And all he did was when really the chips were down and his back was against the wall, that cliche, did he come out firing on that drive. When he fumbles the ball and amazingly Alabama recovers it by accident and Alabama takes the lead, then he just comes out slinging. I mean,
that fumble, it's possible, may end up being the most important moment literally in the guy's life.
Yeah.
Because forever.
Something clicked. Clicked
in that moment. You just said it very well. Something clicked. And how about, got to give credit to Kirby Smart and the entire staff for selecting to go with Stetson Bennett IV.
Agreed. Because there was a lot of people that agreed. A lot of people thought it was JT Daniels' time. I never did. I will say this. And here's why. I never thought of anything of JT Daniels at USC. I didn't like the way he played. I just not a fan of his.
I never understood
where he goes.
Yeah, I never really understood
that guy. I'm telling you. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but his NIL was with Zaxby's. Have you ever been with Zaxby's?
I like Zaxby's.
Likes to take the offensive line that he doesn't play behind because he's on the bench while the actual offensive line's on the field. He likes to take him for some fried chicken over at Zaxby's on his deal. Great NIL signing by Zaxby's. I want to congratulate them on the JT Daniels signing. Excellent.
Consistent with the Zaxby's brand.
What people don't know, though, Crowley, is that our great producer, Amanda Boyk, was in conversations with Stenson Bennett IV on an NIL with us, and it broke down at the last minute.
Hang on a second, though. But that's the second time you've referred to him as Stenson N in there. It's Stetson. Yeah. His name is Stetson.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, I am the guy that repeatedly refers to Greg McElroy as the former Texas quarterback.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, we can't be perfect on this show.
No.
That's the beauty of our relationship. We can correct each other when we're wrong. Yeah.
The best part about this show is that it's not near perfect.
By the way, Amanda.
Yes.
Are you aware of the fact that the great Sam Pittman?
The great Sam Pittman.
Tell her. Give her the bad news. Give her the good news.
Arkansas with a big bowl win. And then today, big news. His offensive coordinator, Kendall Bryle, rebuffs the Miami Hurricanes and stays in Fayetteville. So things are looking great for Coach Pittman.
The great Sam Pittman had a great postseason and had a great season. And he's off and running now.
Things are going. He's got his KJ Jefferson's back. It should be another big year. Kendall Bryle's running the show again on the offense, and Sam just standing there at his 300+ pounds.
Still chesty.
What you guys used to say about him?
He's bosomy. He's bosomy. He is.
Bosomy. That's a good description. He's a large man.
Wait, before we get off the national championship game, is Georgia going to win more national championships in this current era?
So right now,
how about that? How about just
when you say current era, are we referencing the 4-team playoff? What's the era?
The Kirby Smart era. For however long Kirby Smart ends up as, sticks with his alma mater.
I think he wins another national championship as head coach at Georgia. Yes, I do believe that because his recruiting is incredible. There's three schools that are recruiting like crazy and he's one of the three. So, you got obviously Alabama, Georgia, and A&M, and then I'd even throw Ohio State in there too. So,
got to throw Columbus in there for sure.
Yeah, but they're on the outside of those three schools right now. They're on the outside. They're a clear fourth.
I don't know what
to answer your question, Kirby. And by the way, Kirby did what we all knew he would do, which he should have done in the SEC championship game, is he brought 5 and 6 guys consistently in that game.
That's a good call.
He didn't sit back. Oh my God. That first half in the SEC championship game where people forget they were out, they were winning 10-0 right away in that game.
Yeah.
But he kept rushing four and Bryce Young had so much time to literally direct players with his hand while he was standing back there, or just run, and 350-pound Jordan Davis is trying to chase him. So it was a
99. Are you talking about 99?
Yes,
might be my favorite college football player of all time.
In 95, he's no shorty either. He's another 350. It's just remarkable, the players, but the speed, even those guys run great.
Well,
boy,
so 99. He might be the largest human I've ever seen. And one of the things that I liked pointing out to Kit while we were watching that game is how athletic he is. He's so fast and quick.
He made a couple of great plays where he's
nimble. He's incredible.
He's amazing. Well, we'll be seeing him on Sundays a lot.
Oh, for sure.
He is tremendous. But
all right. Now, wait. Here's an important question.
Yes.
Are we in the process of seeing, and I realize that it's not like this is going to occur with like a thud or a slam door or anything like that, but are we in the process of seeing Georgia sort of usurping Alabama as the monster of all college football within the following context? How long is Nick Saban going to hang around, or is it going to be kind of like Georgia and Alabama as a dual-headed monster for the next, say, 5 years?
I think in the SEC, A&M, I know you in particular have, and rightfully so, have ripped Jimbo and A&M.
I just want to, I'm waiting for them to do something to demonstrate why everybody talks about A&M.
Well, let's talk about Georgia's big advantage. The big advantage Georgia has is that they're in the SEC East. That's a huge, huge advantage.
Yeah.
So now you've got to figure, with the way A&M's been recruiting, they're on the rise.
People have been saying that now for how many years?
They weren't the number one class. I mean, this Jimbo. And by the way, kudos to Jimbo for getting rid of Zach, who's the quarterback, Zach Calzada. Getting rid of him. He wasn't the answer. Everything I see at A&M definitely points up, whether it happens or not. Also, the Brian Kelly hire at LSU is a huge boon for LSU. So my point being, the West is just getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Where the East, we're going to give a couple of years over at Florida to see if the new hire pans out at Florida.
Good hire. Good.
I like the hire a lot.
He's on a mission.
He waited a long time. And then of course, Tennessee seems to be on the rise too.
They do?
But Tennessee, definitely on the rise.
Seems to be on the rise?
Big time.
Based on what?
Based on this last season, where all of a sudden now they're scoring 30 or 40 points a game.
What did they?
Their offense, you got to give Josh Heupel credit.
7-6. I think that was their final record.
I didn't
say
they didn't give up 45 on the other side. I said that they're on the rise with this offense right now. Hooker coming back.
I think
Tennessee wins 9-10 games next year, probably. Literally. Okay. I think, matter of fact, I'll make a really bold prediction. I'll give it some time, but Tennessee is the real deal, I think, next year.
Wow.
Okay. Real deal. I mean, second in the East behind Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, ahead of Florida, ahead of Kentucky. Kentucky's winning a lot of games. Kentucky's winning a lot of games, 10 games.
I'm going to believe in Tennessee when Texas A&M shows that I'm supposed to believe in Texas
A&M. Hey, by the way, for the record, Carl, A&M did beat Alabama.
As I've said for many, many years, teams all over the country regularly win big games. That does not mean that you are automatically supposed to anoint that team.
I think
I always point to Charlie Weiss and his Notre Dame team almost, not even beating SC, almost beating SC and everybody going crazy over Jabba, because they thought that demonstrated that Notre Dame was back to being a national power, et cetera, et cetera. 5 minutes later, Jabba was nowhere to be found.
I think that's fair. But right now, with the addition of Brian Kelly at LSU, I think you're going to look at the SEC West as just an absolute gauntlet in 2022.
Forward. I agree with that. But saying Tennessee is on, I'll offer you this. If you're going to say that Tennessee is on the upswing and about to, you know, be on the verge of winning 9-10 games, et cetera. I'm going to say the same thing about Purdue.
Yeah, Tennessee's got, well, listen, Purdue's in the West, so they've got that opportunity in the Big Ten West.
It's a perfect analogy.
Tennessee's doing some thing. Tennessee gets like athletes Purdue doesn't get. Tennessee recruits at a much higher level than Purdue, and Tennessee is going to be. I don't see the correlation. I mean, they just played each other, and we saw them on the field. And of course, Purdue won, but in overtime. It matters. I mean, it was a great win. It was a great atmosphere. By the way, it's probably one of the top two or three bowl games of the whole bowl season.
Let's talk about
to see that game.
Yeah, can we talk about what many people like to refer to as the exhibition season, just for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so that game was so exciting. It was great to watch. There was real controversy. Good game. By the way, the stadium was jam-packed.
Obviously, it being in Tennessee, it allowed...
But if it's an exhibition Nashville game, those Tennessee fans sure didn't act like it was an exhibition game. I agree. Listen, they were there.
We can handpick games where there was nobody in the stands, but this was a great atmosphere. A very exciting game. Like you said, the controversy. By the way, to me, just because you brought it up, there's no controversy on that play. How long do we give a guy to get in the end zone? I mean, 8 hours to see if he can wiggle his way over the line?
As I said in the text thread with the table, it's an old cliche, but unfortunately, cliches are cliches because they're true. No game is won or lost on one single play. And if you're coming down,
no question,
to depending on a referee allowing forward progress to be interpreted to whatever degree was necessary to win, for that to be a touchdown, if you're relying on that, well, you didn't play well enough to win.
And if you look at the play calling by Tennessee, it's atrocious in overtime. It is so bad. They're running the ball all over the place, and all of a sudden he decides to throw on first and goal. They got what they deserved. Congratulations to Purdue on the win. They deserved it.
What is your assessment of, just generally speaking, let's call it the upper tier bowls, and whether or not they matter? Why don't you throw out some examples from your perspective of where games maybe didn't matter or where games did matter?
Yeah.
Because it's such a hot topic. There are people who literally truly believe that these bowl games are just exhibitions.
I'm kind of just going to go on a rant here, not a rant, but just on a flow here.
A mini throwing stones.
I'm just going to throw out some thoughts on these bowl games. Number one, me and you both know that ESPN A needs live programming, and B is making a fortune on these bowl games because the ratings were phenomenal.
Yeah. We're going to touch on ESPN here.
The ratings were great, though.
ESPN forever has had phenomenal ratings from bowl games. That's just a fact,
and that is continuing. They were great,
and that goes back to my Milton Friedman argument on whatever the hell we were talking about on one of our shows. If people want to watch these games, they're going to watch them. And last time I checked, more people watch college football bowl games than Major League Baseball preseason spring training games.
Absolutely. The bowl games did terrific. Number two, the heartbreak of the bowl games, especially the upper tier ones that you mentioned, are the guys that opted out. You had bowl games where Oregon was playing Oklahoma and none of the guys were on the field. That part is disheartening.
Hang on a second, because words are important.
Yes.
You just said none of the guys are on the field.
Well,
I watched a game between Oregon and Oklahoma, and there were 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense.
Let me just hang on. I heard what
you said. You said right. None of the guys are on the field.
None of the guys I wanted to watch. I can tell you that. The guys that are going to be playing on Sunday, the guys that are going to the NFL. No, I didn't. It was a terrible game. I watched a few minutes, and I saw, Anthony Brown doing his usual horrible job, which he did. I cannot believe Oregon stuck with that guy at quarterback that long. They don't have any other guys they can put in there. But anyways, let me rephrase my statement so it's very, very clear. Opt-outs were very disheartening in this bowl season. I'm not blaming any player for opting out.
I don't have a problem with them opting
out.
I agree with you. It hurts. It does hurt, but I don't.
I don't have a problem with it. I understand the reason.
I have zero issue with a kid opting out.
For instance, I'm going to go back to one of our old shows because you did. You were very confident when I asked you the question.
The canine
I said, is Kenneth Walker going to play? And you said yes.
Yes, I did.
You were very confident. I said, you said yes. I'm sure.
I actually thought he was going to stay for his senior year. But I was
wow. Were you off? I was way off. And of all the people that should know, goddammit, it's you that should know it. And by the way, I asked my dad before. I said, "Is Kenny Pickett playing?" Of course he's playing.
George. Yeah, right.
There's no question about it. He's playing. I said, "Are you sure?" Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, your family, Pittsburgh fan.
Yeah, he said, "Yeah." And Pickett had absolutely. And sure enough, 2 seconds later, he's opting out. So that's the second thing I take away from it. The third thing, of course, is
wait. Can I ask a question, Stone? So. Yes. Let's take the state Pitt game. Two of the best players in the country. One of them, Kenny Pickett, a Heisman Trophy finalist. The other probably should have been a Heisman Trophy finalist. Borderline.
Had a phenomenal year.
They both opt out. That football game was an incredible football game between two good teams. And even though those guys didn't play, that was spectacular college football.
That's a huge stretch if you watch that game to say that was great college football. Was it close and was it going to come back by Michigan?
Okay,
there was some mediocre play on both sides. I mean, Michigan State couldn't move the ball for a lot of the game. Pitt, gave away a lead that they were in control because they're on their third quarterback after the kid gets hurt right away, the second string. I mean, that game's not that's going football. To the College Football Hall of Fame.
That happened. Sure.
No, it was a lousy game. But credit to Michigan State for coming back. But it was
lousy game.
It was nothing on that field. That was it was a bad game. Michigan State.
Would you have rather watched like an NBA?
How many times have I told you when I'm walking down the street and I see 8-year-olds playing flag football or touch football, I stop and watch for an hour. I mean, I watch any football game, but that game was not a good game. It was pretty ugly at times until he finally remembered who his best player was. And by the way, congrats to you and Jaden Reed. Returning to the fold next season.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Naylor walks, but Reed comes back. And
And I do think that Michigan State is a good program to kind of gauge this question. They win their bowl game. Now, Captain says that according to Captain's rules, State's final record is 10-2. The bowl game victory literally doesn't get counted. By the official, record keepers and everything. It goes into the ether. It literally doesn't matter. I look on the Michigan State website and Michigan State credits itself with a victory in that game. So I don't know who's wrong or who's right, but that final record is 11-2. Does that bowl game and the victory in it mean anything?
It means they won a game. They're 11 wins. No, I mean, I love the captain. That's insanity. Of course it counts. It's in the record books. It counts. Better to win a game than lose a game. It was a good win. It was to get the third string quarterback. They had a miracle, to come back. Congrats on Holiday on the return. By the way, how would you like to bet on Pitt? Oh my God. Oh my God. The guy returns that.
By the way, everybody on the sideline too is going, just go down. And he's a freshman, by the way. He is a hell of a player. He's just saying, I'm taking this all the way.
There was no doubt. I mean, God, they were looking for a minute. Pitt drove it all the way down there. And then, wow, what a turn of events that was.
So do the bowl games matter?
Some do. I mean, do they matter? Yes. First of all, they matter to the kids because the kids at Duco, it means a lot to them. And it's a reward. But not to mention, probably the most important thing is you get a couple of weeks of practice, which is really invaluable.
Okay, so you just touched on something that people do talk about, but the skeptics, the haters, the cynics, the people, the whiners who just want to complain about something, they talk about how these bowl games don't matter. They absolutely matter for winning's sake, but then also for developmental sake.
Yeah.
And all those guys what is it? 2 or 3 weeks of practice? That's huge. Really important.
It's a chance for somebody to make a name and get an opportunity. And especially with these opt-outs, a lot of guys are getting opportunities. Definitely, the fan base, it gives them a place to go. They want to root their team on. They don't want to be embarrassed in a bowl game. But the bottom line is this. The college football playoff, all indications are now that we're going to be stuck at four until the end of the contract in a few years.
Changing. That's not changing.
Yeah, you don't see it yet. Well, it's Dr. Jim Phillips, commissioner of the ACC, has basically put his foot down and said that's not where their focus needs to be right now in the playoff. For me personally, I'm really surprised by this. I thought that the playoff would be expanded.
I don't want it to be expanded. You don't? No, like K-Hai says. Those semifinal games are dogs. I mean, like they really are. Those are the four best teams.
So you're saying because the semifinals are bad that the quarters would be bad?
Not necessarily, I also think that the more you expand the playoffs, the more it dilutes the regular season. One of the great things about college football is every week is a playoff. Every Saturday,
I agree,
is a playoff all across the country. And the more you expand the playoffs, which eventually it will happen just because money rules everything and there's more money to be made.
No, it's going to expand. And by the way, the ACC is going to be it'll eventually punished expand. When it does happen.
The more you expand it, the more it dilutes the games on October 12th.
I think that's fair. But here's the problem that people... First of all, the one rating that was down were the semifinals, where the ratings were not good. And part of the problem is because people are tired of seeing the same schools. I am not. I would love to see Alabama and Georgia play six more times. It's to me, great athletes, okay, so
let's talk about
schemes. How about the Pac-12, bro? Let's talk about them. I'm just saying, where these schools are.
Why? Why should we talk about the Pac-12?
I believe we shouldn't. That was my rhetorical nonsense, because who needs to talk? Now USC, maybe we will be talking about it. But the same schools are in. That's the problem. There's
apathy. USC will be back in business. I think
there's Lincoln Valley
will. Oh yeah, and much of the reason, if not most of the reason, is because there's nobody in the Pac-12 worth a damn. I mean, like that track to the playoff for Lincoln Riley,
it should be pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's smooth as silk. Give me your four playoff teams for next year. And then I want two sleeper teams.
Wow. That's great stuff. I expect Alabama to be back. I expect Georgia to be back. I think both of them have a really strong shot at that. I think you got to think Ohio State's going to be back. Mm-hmm. By the way, just a real quick question to you. Do you think Harbaugh's back or not?
I don't know. I don't have an opinion on it because, I think he's leveraging the crap out of this whole thing. I think he's doing, honestly, a disservice to the football program that he's in charge of right now by not, like, sort of making a decision one way or another. I think he definitely wants to get back to the NFL and win a Super Bowl.
I think this is the time to go. I think he's going. Yeah. I don't know if there's going to be rosier time to go than right now. You brought your team. You beat Ohio State finally. You went to the playoff. You realized when you got to the playoff that your players aren't half as good as the ones across the way from you, and they aren't going to get any better than the ones across the way from you against Georgia. This is the perfect time for him to go.
Yeah,
I think he's gone.
Yeah, but you want to know what I think the issue is? I don't know that anybody really truly wants
him. No, they do. They want him. His record in the NFL is terrific. It is. It's flat out great. His record in the NFL. He took a struggling 49ers franchise and turned it around.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, though. That was a long time ago.
Well, he's been at Michigan 7 years, and he finally accomplished what I thought he'd accomplish a lot sooner. So I think he's gone. I think he will be the new coach of the Raiders. That's where I expect him to be. He will be the new coach.
I think he's going to stay at Michigan. I do.
Okay.
I do.
I think it's a mistake if he does. I'll say that right now. I agree with you.
He's gone as far as he can go.
Agreed.
So
I hate to say that, but agreed. By the way, here's why I don't have this team this in the playoff, but I'll tell you who I'm really impressed by. And it correlates to what we just talked about at Lincoln Riley. I love what Oklahoma's done since they lost Lincoln Riley.
I think Oklahoma's
going to be very good.
How about Oklahoma State?
Oklahoma will destroy Oklahoma State in Bedlam. Wow. Oklahoma is the best team. I have no doubt in the Big 12 right now already. Look at that staff he's built too. What a great. Yeah. Venable's brilliant and great getting Jeff Lebby over from Ole Miss. Brilliant hire. Everything Oklahoma's done is top notch. And by the way, at the same time, they're getting rated like crazy by USC, and they're still going to be damn good. Oklahoma is going to be – I'm excited for Oklahoma. I really like what they did. And by the way, Clemson, you lose all your coordinators. You lose both coordinators. That's the one. That's the one I'm most intrigued by. That's my number one intrigue.
Well, do you remember what I talked about at the beginning of the season when we were first talking about
you thought that was USC.
Yeah. Like I think it's over for Clemson. I don't think you're gonna see Clemson just absolutely destroying all
that league
ACC competition, and I don't think Dabo will win another national championship.
Wow. Do you think Clemson will be in the ACC championship game next year? That's a bellwether that they wouldn't even have thought about, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Well, they weren't this year. They weren't.
That's what I'm saying. Can you imagine if they missed another?
Yeah, I just think that Clemson is not Alabama. It's not Ohio State. It can't just simply.
But it was.
But there's a lot of programs who have great runs, and go on these great runs. But to sustain that is so hard.
No question about it. But Clemson, I mean, the way they've recruited and the way, but you know, he hasn't dipped into the portal. He's not really interested in that.
Well, that's,
and
that's
by the way, part of the reason why. You got to help me on this pronunciation if you can. The quarterback there.
I can't pronounce it.
It's a difficult name. Number five is what I'll refer to him as.
Yeah.
Number five is not good. Number five is a major problem.
I don't understand how they go from having such amazing quarterbacks to now having number five.
Number five was a huge recruit, though. I mean, this guy's like number one five-star recruit out of California that comes to Clemson, and he just doesn't have it. I mean, there's no going past that. If that guy rebounds to have a great year next year, I will tip my hat a million times to him. I just don't see it. And the skill positions around him aren't very good either. But his game, he looks lost. I mean, they did a terrible job with that guy this year.
On top of all of that, Dabo has lost his key assistants.
Yeah, especially the one on the defensive side.
Yeah, and we're going to see just how valuable Venables was to that entire run. And I just don't think that's a program, despite what Clemson fans may want to think, and despite what like sort of people with like a 10 minute attention span who can't remember that for 30 years, Clemson was literally the epitome of a mediocre college football program.
Oh, there were bad times there.
They were five.
After Danny Ford wins a national championship,
they were five and seven, seven and five, five and seven, seven and five, with maybe eight and four.
Yeah,
with an 8-4 mixed in there, maybe a 10-win season every 7 years. You know, they were so mediocre.
Oh, the Tommy Bowden years.
Yeah,
I mean, you could. Oh,
and so
not good.
I'm not suggesting that they're going to go back to that type of thing, but like Dabo.
Oh, they're not going back there. No, not even close to back there. But you know that those alumni and those students they expect a lot better than what they got, and it's not going back to where Spurrier beat them five times in a row, but it might be going backwards, and that would really surprise me, but it's possible. And the ACC, that's their only salvage, is they're still in that lousy league. Let's see, Miami, you know, I think down the road here Miami's going to be a player now. There's no doubt about that.
You think Mario's going to get it done?
Absolutely. In that league, yeah, he's going to recruit the hell out of South Florida.
And what does
he's
that
got the
mean?
State of Miami roped off, just like Coach Schnellenberger did.
Yeah, what is when you say, what were your exact words? He's going to get it done, or I think I asked you if he's going
to. No,
get it
done. I absolutely. I, as a matter of fact, I would be surprised in two years, if Miami is not the ACC champion.
ACC champion. Okay, so does that
put them in the playoff? That might go into the playoff. I'm not going to put them in the playoff in 2 years, but maybe 3 years in the playoff. But out 2 years, they're going to win the ACC.
Okay.
And Florida State's going to hopefully come back a little bit, too. It'd be nice to see a great, great rivalry like Miami.
Yeah. Oh, God, wouldn't that be great? That really would be great. Rivalry. I have a hard time believing that Florida State is done. I mean, like, they've got to have good enough players on that team to win
some
fucking football games.
I give them credit for at least, you know, there was a lot of calls to fire this coach, and they stuck in there with him, and they got a little bit, but you could see signs that the program's, I think, going in the right direction right now. I mean, we'll see. This is a big year for them. They can't be, you know, below 500.
All right. Here's a question.
Good stuff.
2022, who's going to have a bigger, better season, Tennessee or Florida State?
Oh, Tennessee. Tennessee.
All right, then who's going to have a better season next year, Purdue or Tennessee?
Tennessee.
Obviously, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Purdue. I mean,
we're going to say that right now, and then we'll circle back to this around, you know, next.
Yes.
Week. Yeah. Hey, take it,
Amanda. How much time do we have left?
Not enough, Stone. No, we're not going to get to it.
Okay. So why don't we do? Let's tease the viewer, the listeners, a little bit on where we're headed, because I think, Carl, I don't want to speak for you.
There's but not
I
enough
think
time.
We should do our own show on that subject. I don't
simply even, on that subject. Why don't you? Why don't you tease the listeners about the topic? We only have 3 minutes left.
Okay.
And
but are you in agreement that we can do a whole show on that topic?
Oh, of course.
I think we should do a special. I mean, now that we're back in the groove, Amanda's back. We know what we're doing. Back. You're back. We're back. The pod's back.
Yeah.
The pod. Stop. Is that our nickname?
The pod is back.
I absolutely love it. The pod is back.
The pod is back. So what we were going to discuss.
By the way,
before
you tease the listeners, can I just also tease the listeners? As usual, Fran Healy and Tom Rinaldi.
That's right.
Yeah, they're back in 2022 also.
Well, great to have them following us.
Yeah. Tonight. Now, not only did we have a repeat sponsor for this show, but Fran and Tom have repeat guests coming on right after this.
Who is that?
Harry Wendelstedt.
Oh, good, good.
Great umpire. Great umpire. And Tom Treblehorn.
Oh, Trebs is back. Good. Yeah, Trebs left a couple of stories on the table that he's going to bring. I'm looking forward to that.
He's going
to
go in depth on his interview that he took when he was given like a psych test by whoever I think Ed Lynch might have been the GM at the time.
Right. He's got some Brewer stories too.
One of the questions was, if you could be any kind of tree, what would the tree be? What would that tree be? And Treblehorn's answer famously was, I'd be a cub tree.
Excellent. Well, Amanda, am I ready for my tease, or are we out of time? Is that
we got 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Go ahead.
Okay, Stone.
The timer.
So big news broke the other day at the University of Michigan that a $490 million settlement was made for the victims of a doctor who was molesting players, sexually abusing players, and, you know, mirroring sexual assault charges that came in Michigan State years before with Larry Nassar, and then of course with Jerry Sandusky. And me and Crowley have both done a deep dive, Crowley in particular, and he's written some really good articles and has a lot of thoughts on it. So do I, and it needs the proper forum. So we're going to take our time on that. We're not going to rush it. Probably going to have our own episode just about that and things that need to be talked about. Looking forward to that, Carl. It was great talking to you about that today, and I think it's going to be must listen for our listeners. It's really interesting.
Fascinating topic for our listeners.
Yeah, it's a serious topic.
Thank you to our sponsors before we run out of time and get cut off, because that's what you guys love to do.
Well, yeah, I will say thank you once again to ThyssenKrupp Elevator. Once again, as just I think everyone's aware, they are indeed recognized as a top 10 elevator manufacturer in all of North America. They provide a smooth ride, a clean and modern interior atmosphere. They've got a spacious vestibule, and their technology is relatively safe. They have really not had too many malfunctions, not too many deaths. OSHA gives them a B- grade overall. Don't forget about ThyssenKrupp Elevators. They give you every opportunity to reach the next level. Stone, I have one last question for you.
Yes.
Will Big Blue Nation and John Calipari win the national championship for a fan base?
No,
that is I can very answer that very impatient.
Quickly. They will not win the national championship this year, but there's Sweet 16 is where they're headed, and
that's not what BBN is happy about.
BBN's got to get
5 seconds
better than missing the tournament last year.
Thank you, folks.
We still on?
No.
Are we definitely off?
It's about to stop right now.
I don't believe we're off. I see you guys. When I see you still, I know we're off.